Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. As you can see, my voice is a little bit better. I'm still coughing every now and then. I apologize ahead of time for coughing tonight and apologize for last week for coughing almost every night. But I am better, and I appreciate all the love that was sent my way. Tonight, I'd like to announce something that myself and a few of my comrades have decided to do. We have decided that we're going to have an anti-bullying event. Here in the Acreage, we have a wonderful community park. And albeit I have not found out exactly who the head honcho is for me to speak to, I do know that the park is used for various fundraising and community events. It's a beautiful park, very large, has football fields and basketball court and skateboard ramps, and it's really perfect. And I'm thinking of an all-day event where people could come and show their wares, maybe make a few dollars on selling things, have some food, but more than anything, bring to light the fact that we are not going to be subjected any longer by people being unkind to us. And I think there's a good way to do it. I think talking about it is obviously the first step. I've said that since day one. And I still believe that is the best way to get things rolling, bringing it to the attention of all the people and letting people know that if they are struggling with something along those lines, they are not alone. With all the conversations that we've had here on the air and all the research that I've done, one of the things that I've found out is, singly speaking, one of the most important things you can do for somebody who's being harassed, bullied, picked on, abused, any of those things, is to let them know that they're not by themselves. Something gives you great courage when you know you'll have somebody in your corner. There was actually a test done that I witnessed on television last night. The brain activity of someone holding the hand of a friend during a hard time. The anxiety and everything decreased like a lot, not just a little, not just a smidge, a lot, like 70% in some cases, and a couple cases even more than that. Being given bad news, being in a position of fear, anything. Having, in one case, they showed a woman who was about to have a surgery done, and her anxiety level was so high they were afraid to do anything. They let her friend come in and simply hold her hand, and they were able to do the whole procedure because she just calmed down so much. So being alone is tough on everybody. And if you can find out that even though you may think you're alone, that there's nobody standing there right beside you right this moment, or there's nobody with you later on this evening or tomorrow morning when you wake up, you need to know that you're not alone anymore, that there's people out there that will not stand anymore for people being hurt for no good reason. So I'm looking forward to this. I am enlisting the help of Shelley, who most of you know. Shelley's been on the show every night and has been a dear friend of mine for 12 years. And she's worked for some big companies and has an actual outline. You'd have to know Shelley to understand that everything's written down someplace in her little satchel of tricks. She's an amazing note taker and organizer. And she's promised to help with this, and I think we can make this a big success. I'm opening up for volunteers. We have not planned a date yet. If you are interested in helping with this and live in the vicinity so it would be easy for you to get back and forth, please let me know. You can email me at Renee, R-E-E-N-I-E, dot Brewer, brewer91 at gmail.com, and let me know if you're interested in helping. We'll need music. We'll need all kinds of things, and I'm hoping a lot of things can be donated for the cause. But we'll work on that and get organized and pick a date and start working on this. I think this will be a big thing and maybe lighten a lot of different people's load. I also am expecting a call tonight from the lady who is working with Sunset House. She and Daniel, I spoke with Daniel this week, and Rhonda has been in Tallahassee. And really what's going on is Sunset House, according to what they're putting out to the media, doesn't have enough students to stay alive. And that's their biggest downside. At least that's what they're putting out to the media. So if that's really what's happening, then I think this can be worked with. If it's not a matter of having to close the school for some horrible other reason, if we need office space, then office space should be paid for, and that could supplement the income for the school. At any rate, we are going to talk with Rhonda and see what good news she has to give us. I'm going to open up the lines and bring Shelley in. Hi, Shell. How you doing?
Oh, much better. I'm getting more and more at the land of the living again. Like you, though, I'm still not 100%, though. If I laugh or something like that, I'm still coughing a bit. This is probably the worst flu I have ever had in my entire life. I have never been affected like that. And you know, I do everything holistically. I don't take antibiotics, and I don't go to the doctors for stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I have to say I'm very pleased that my homeopathic remedies are working real well. But I am surprised that it is such a nasty flu. I mean, I had gone up to Orlando with my family this weekend, so I am doing much better, and I was able to survive the trip there and back. But the coughing is what's not clearing up quickly. So
yeah, I'm still struggling with the cough as well. But as you can tell, my voice is better. I feel much better. Yesterday and today, I was actually out of my house for the first time since last
mm-hmm.
Saturday.
Yes,
so
wow.
Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that too. And of course, I do know that since it happened to me, a lot of people have called me and said, "Oh, me too." And I'm taking this stand and I'm sticking to it. You can't catch our flu over the phone, everybody. I swear to God, you cannot. So I think it's just a really nasty time of year, you know.
Yeah, boy, I'm telling you. And
then
the things that are out there are mutant strains. It's not what the original
yes.
thing was. They go through mm-hmm. all kinds of changes, and it turns into something it didn't even start, you know, just by changing hands or coming in from other countries and stuff. You know, we just get a lot of stuff that's hybridized and all that, and it's weird what it does to the human body when it finally gets
mm-hmm.
to us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's the truth.
But, anyway, I'm excited about the event that we're going to be putting together. I have a ton of ideas. I have a very clear way of organizing some of them, including the volunteers. In fact, that was one of the main things I did when I worked at Grumman. I was with the volunteer group that was there, and these events would end up coming off so well organized. So I have a nice template to work with. I had worked with a woman back then named Sharon Grosser. I lost touch with her probably over a decade ago, but she was one of the best coordinators that I ever had the good fortune to work with, because I was able to get a lot of good tips from her on how to organize things like this. So I feel extremely fortunate that I was able to work with her. And
mm-hmm.
She was
mm-hmm.
quite an amazing individual. And she just had a particular itinerary. And so that's what I'm doing, is I'm going to be borrowing her itinerary to help you to kind of bring this all together. So...
Well, and as you know, I have some background in that with the festival that I did at Hippocrates, and every year that got a lot bigger. So I think we put our heads together, and there's a few other people that have kind of stepped up to the plate, that have had, you know, some dealings with festivals and events and things like that. So I think it can be a wonderful one. And I do think... Go ahead.
One of the things is that once we have the agenda, and I'll get that to you this week, then you'll actually be able to post that, because you're going to be asking for some businesses and individuals to sign up for certain things.
Right,
and,
right.
You'll have to have like a little questionnaire, whether it's a private individual or a business, and what their participation wants to be, and then we can organize it from there. So that's going to make it kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm excited about that as well.
Sweetie, I'm going to ask you to mute me for about 3 minutes. I just pulled up to my property. I want to go inside my house, and my dogs are going to go nuts, so I don't want to
deafen
somebody as I try to get in my house.
All right, I'll know when you're back on.
Yeah, I'll hit the one.
Okay, I muted Shelley. She has an entourage at her house, so and they greet her, you know, because she's everybody's mom. When I first met her, she had 125 ferrets, and when you walked into the house, there was parts of the house where they ran free. And I always wear long skirts, and these little guys would scramble right up my skirts to get my attention. I've never been in such a social animal kingdom in my life. And the dogs, she said, well, be careful. The dogs are really big, and, you know, they don't know you and everything. And I said, uh-huh. I was in there for 2 minutes, and I said, Shelley, is this what you were talking about? And she looks over at me, and here's three great big dogs with their heads right under my skirts with just tails wagging all the way around me. Very, very loving animals, just like Shelley. So let's talk a little bit about the event before we hear from Rhonda. I will need music. We will need vendors. We will need people who can help us get some T-shirts done. And we need, one of the most important things, is slogan. We need something that will stick in people's minds so that they remember what it is we're doing this for before we have the event and for a long time afterwards. So I would like it to be something that is meaningful and catchy and will stick in people's minds. So I've been racking my brain and have come up with nothing so far. But maybe if we all start throwing things in the air, maybe one will come out of all of them. So, but I do think it would be nice to do it at the very beginning of the summer or late spring, because that's a time for new beginnings. And I think it's time for a new beginning in this world, one of much more kindness and much more forgiveness that needs to take place amongst all of us. And I think that the more of us that stick together to do that kind of thing, the better off we are. Now, there's been some other things that came across my lap this week, and that is the fact that there are places like our young 14-year-old who are doing gay and straight alliances, and I hear that they're working very nicely and have helped a lot in some of the different schools. If you are aware of one of those places that has a gay straight alliance organization after school in the evening or on Saturdays, and you know that it's helping and it's working, please put those people in touch with me, because that would help this young woman get accomplished what she's trying to accomplish. I think that there's a lot of promise in an organization that actually works together rather than anti this and anti that. I think that's one of the other mistakes that we're making on a regular basis. We also have had an opportunity this week. I have had an opportunity to be introduced to a lady. We have not met personally yet, but she is a psychologist, and she works with kids that have got really, really, really big problems, big emotional problems, things like that. And if you'll remember, on Friday, we had heard from somebody who was concerned about a young woman who's 17 years old and who will be more or less either just put back into another foster home until she turns 18 or be out in the street. And I did some research on 211, and they absolutely have some things that can she can be helped by with 211. And for those of you who haven't looked at the 211 website yet, please do, because you never know where you're going to meet somebody who could use their help. Because, I mean, it covers everything from senior citizens that are struggling with a place to stay. Maybe they've been hospitalized. Maybe they've lost their home. In some cases, maybe they've just recently lost a spouse, and the spouse was the caregiver, and now they're, you know, they're in this very ominous place where they don't know who's going to help them or who's going to care for them, and there may not be any other family. 211 even helps with things like that. So give that website out freely, and don't be embarrassed, because I think they're very professional, and I think they're doing a job that is very commendable. I do still fret a little bit over all the stories that I read to you last week in regard to the young girls who get bullied for so long and for such stretches, sometimes from very, very early childhood from a parent, and then that moves into school, and then that moves into boyfriends, and then that moves into a spouse, and their remedy is the one of cutting. And I must tell you, I thought about that all weekend. That hurts me to think that there's young people out there hurting themselves like that. Now, of course, we know things like bulimia and some of the other maladies that young women put on themselves are horrific as well. But there's something about, you know, hurting your own body. Many, many years ago, somebody very, very close to me cut their wrists. And I was trying to help, and I said, I wish you could explain to me how you could do such a thing. I can't even wrap my brain around it. And they said to me, well, for one thing, when you do something like this, you don't think you're going to have to explain it to anybody later. Now, I must tell you, for the next 10 minutes, everything was very quiet between us, because that spoke a very, very loud point to me. And I think people have a tendency to believe that when young people hurt themselves, it's for attention. And often it is. A cry for help. Often it is. But often it's really because they've had enough and they don't expect to be around later to say they're sorry or make amends for doing something like that. So that's a big thing to remember as well if you're dealing with someone or you yourself is dealing with a depression that's that great. You really must examine the repercussions of your actions. There's always something that you can be happy about. You may have to look for a while. You may have to look hard. But there's always something. Even if all it is the smell of a flower, the blue sky, the smell of the salty ocean, there has to be something that puts you in a place of peace and happiness. And if you're in such a terrible place right now, you need to find that other place. You need to close your eyes, and you need to bring yourself to that place so that you can feel the warmth, the sun on your face, the comfort that comes to you from being in that place. You can always find it, but you have to look for it. So please, if you are one of those young people or one of those older people or any people that's doing things that hurt you, please stop. Please stop. It's not worth it to keep hurting yourself. Look for the place that brings you peace and love and comfort. And there's other people out there that are looking for you, because there's other people out there who need you. But you all have to find each other. You have to look for each other. You know that old song, look for the silver lining? That's the truth. You have to really, really look for the silver lining. You have to know that you're looking for something that's going to put you in a better place. When you do that, then things will be nicer for you, calmer for you, more peaceful for you. I can't tell you how many times in my position at Hippocrates somebody would come in after being told that they had cancer, and the doctor said, really, nothing we can do for you, you know. I'll make you as comfortable as I can, but that's about all there is. So in one sentence, the doctor's taken away all hope. So the first thing, if something like that happens to you, is you have to go find hope again. And a lot of times when people came to Hippocrates, that's what they were looking for, and that's what they found. They found an alternative. They found a place where they could be, find some happiness and some safety and some security. And that's what you have to do. I don't want you to think that you're the only one out there ever, because that's simply not true. We've all been in a bad place. We've all been someplace that's really, really hard to handle. And if you get there, you got to look for something else. It's up to you. I also had a Facebook message today from a young guy who's struggling. And he said, you know, isn't it funny how people think they're helping you, but all they do is tell you everything you do wrong? And I said, you know, that's because that's all they know how to say to you. All they think that you need them to show you how you're messing up, when in reality, you can't get anything like that from somebody else. You can only get it from the man in the mirror. It's the only place where the truth really lies. Somebody else doesn't know you well enough. Somebody else doesn't understand you well enough. I don't even care if it's your mother, your wife, the very best friend you've had your whole life. Nobody understands you the way you do. Consequently, the only one who can make a difference in all the things that you feel are going wrong in your life, and all the things that are hurting you, you are responsible for those things almost always. You've either handed somebody the line and caught them, or you've given somebody the opportunity, or you've out and out done something yourself to put yourself in a bad place. We are the makers of our own destiny. Always, always, always. So a big part of pulling yourself together, even when it comes to people picking on you and bullying you, I don't say to you, oh, stay away from them, oh, act like a man, or stand up for yourself. All those things are futile. What you do have to look at, though, is why somebody's found it so easy to pick on you. Why somebody's found it so available to get under your skin. And sometimes you'll come up with your own answer. And who can fix it? Only you. Only you. I wish with all my heart that I could fix everything that's wrong with everybody I know. First of all, I've learned in later years that I not only can't do that, but I'm not always sure what is wrong with them, or if that is wrong, or it's just wrong in my opinion. So you can't do that. It just doesn't work like that. What you have to do is you have to work on yourself and only yourself. And I want you to, if you will, imagine a world where every single person did everything they could to make themselves as perfect and as good as they could possibly be. Not you, not their significant other. They didn't work on anybody but themselves. They dedicated their whole day to making sure this day I will smile at everybody. I will be nice to everybody. If somebody is having a bad day, I will have a little empathy for them and not play off of their bad day. I will do everything in my power today to make sure that I'm the absolute best person that I can be. And see what it does for you. I promise you, it will be a better day than most. It may not be the perfect day that you're in search of, but I promise you it will be a better day than most if you just do that for yourself. Because I'm telling you, you can't change the crabby lady at the checkout line in Publix. You can't do anything about the guy that cut you off in the old pickup truck and then the fumes spit out in your face. You can't do anything with those people. You can't do anything with anybody else but yourself. So if you'll do that, if you'll work on having a day where all you do is try the very, very best you can to be the best person that you can be and care just a little bit more about other people's stuff, their plight, their destiny, whatever's going on with them, without trying to fix it because you can't, but care a little bit and give them a little bit of moral support, you will have one of the best days you've ever had, I promise you. Now, I have a couple other callers. I'm going to bring Shelley back in. Are you there, Shel?
Yeah, I'm here, Reen.
Okay.
Yeah, I love everything you said, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope that everybody tries it. I hope that tomorrow morning when everybody wakes up, they just look at themselves in the mirror when they're brushing their teeth and say, I don't care what else happens. I'm going to make a promise to myself to be the kind of person that I want other people to be towards me, and see if it doesn't put them in just the best place they could possibly be at.
Yep.
Now, do I have Danny?
Hi, Renee. This is Daniel. How are you?
I'm good, sweetheart. How are you?
Great, great, great. I'm not sure. I'm coming in a little late here, so I'm not sure if Rhonda got in touch with you.
No, I have not heard anything from her.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys an update whenever you're free, whenever you're ready.
Well, we've talked about...
Bring me up to date. Bring me up to date.
Okay. We've talked about the event. We're going to do an anti-bullying event, I hope, in the spring. Shelley is going to head it up because she has some really great experience with big organizations doing events.
Woo-hoo.
And fundraisers.
Yay,
and
Shelley.
And we're going to you know, need a lot of volunteers. We're going to need a lot of vendors. We're going to need a lot of spokespeople that can come and talk about what they do and what they offer to kids and adults and everybody alike. And I'd like to do it in late spring, early summer, because spring is the time of new beginnings, and I think it's significant
That's right.
to start something like that then.
Well, I love the idea. I'm glad you have wonderful leadership with Shelley. Anything I can do to help you as well. And for your listeners that are listening, I just want to remind everyone that Renee was the keynote speaker at the Broward County Anti-Violence Summit. And, you know, we We is a gathering of all community leaders, municipalities, nonprofits that really came together to choose peace and stop violence. You know, it was an exciting event, and, you know, I think it really brought to light, you know, the importance on bullying, even though we all know how important it is not to. It sheds the light that even an adult can be a bully.
In most cases, adults, there are a lot of adults that are bullies. Yes, that's true.
That's right. I just wanted to inform your listeners and you that I'm sitting here with two great men. I'm sitting here with my good friend Dan Finkelstein, and I'm sitting here with Jason Delos Rios, and they're very close individuals of mine, friends, that, you know, I just wanted them to hear on here and just give a shout out, because we only, as leaders in the community, we affiliate, or so the people who lift us up and not bring us down. So I just want them to give you a shout out.
Hi, I'm Dan Finkelstein.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, I'm Jason Dallas Rios.
Hi, Jason.
So I just wanted to, you know, for you to hear those names, because these are leaders in the community for your listeners that are doing their own type of work and other stuff. So I just want to do that. I just wanted to remind everybody about the Anti-Violence Summit, and I'm glad to hear that we're going to be doing something again, because I think every year it needs to be renewed. Let me know when you want me to talk about Sunset. I'd love to update your listeners.
Well, let me give Shell a chance to talk a little bit about the event, and then we will move right to Sunset House. Shell, you want to take off where you left off?
Okay.
One of the things that's going to be central in organizing something like that, you had sort of touched on it yourself already, but basically we're going to need to get some sponsors, as many people that can donate like food, tables, supplies, things like that. And a lot of companies will. One of the neat things when Grumman used to do all the fundraisers, they did it for different organizations, is that they would get the T-shirts made, and it was funded by local companies that would advertise on the T-shirts, and it would pay for the T-shirts. And then you get these T-shirts, you would give them out at the events, and they would have like 20 different company logos on the back, and it was a way for companies to get free advertising and then to donate to a good cause at the same time. So it was really good in that regard. But you also want to have information tables. You want to have people, you want to have a multi-tiered event, and that you want to have some stuff that's just going to be fun, people selling wares, you know, people being able to go to food and just buy things or get food. You want, definitely want to have music, but you also want to have a whole information booth that's nothing but information related to this topic, both on anti-bullying, but also about the flip side. You also want to have some books that are about how to become healthier and happier, how to be on the proactive side of the coin, you know. So you want to have a nice mixture of information on both sides of the fence, dealing with the seriousness of the issue and also dealing with how not to get yourself there to begin with or to pull yourself out if you find yourself there. So I can do some research there into some of the genre books and the media and stuff like that to have kind of a nice mixture of information available, and then a lot of free pamphlets, different organizations. So some of the organizations that have gotten in touch with you, Rini, we should ask them to give us flyers, and that we'll have a whole information table there. People can go there and they can look for things that might be in their area and get some local flyers, local agency pages, and things like that. But
we could maybe enlist the help of Daniel in regard to some of the places in Broward County, because he's already got some affiliation.
That he can
turn to and have them even be present
have booths. Very important.
Yeah. Like I remember I told everybody about those wonderful policemen that were at the event that I went to in Miami.
Yep.
And they put out feelers for young kids who were finding weapons in the street. And so that they didn't try to do something else with the weapon, they gave them the opportunity to turn the weapon into them, and they'd get them the sneakers of their choice.
Yeah, I think that's outrageous.
Well, I mean, I thought that just showed some really being in touch with reality, you know, because a kid finding a gun, first thing is going to be experimental, and God forbid what could happen from that, but what's the second most important thing? Kicks. Every time you talk to a kid, you know, what kind of kicks you're wearing, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, can I interject, Rady and Shelley?
Sure.
You know, I don't know if anyone was aware, but this morning we, it was just the worst news you can hear. In, I don't know if anybody heard about the University of Central Florida this morning. There was a student who went ahead and came on early morning, committed suicide. To make a statement that, you know, life was hard and that, you know what, I can't kill myself. So as long as I bring a gun on campus, you're going to shoot me. You're going to be able to shoot me for myself. And,
is that right? I saw the beginning of that, never saw the rest of that, that whole.
I think this is a statement that we need to be, you know, or this is not a test. This is reality. There are plenty of young people, older people, who are dealing with things. And if we're not there, the question was posed on Facebook this morning. How do you reach a child who has been through so much? And there were comments being posted. And I had to say, just be there. Just be there for them. That means being available. That means, you know, being available to them. That means, you know, being accommodating to them. That means being there for them and, you know, listening to them, having an open ear. And you know what? The reason why that individual needed to make that statement was because, you know what, maybe they didn't have anybody to talk to. And you know what? The sole fact is just tragic that you have to, you know, I don't have the ability to kill myself because I can't do it myself, but I'm going through so much. You know what? If I buy a gun and I go on a college campus, because I have a gun, you're going to shoot me anyway. Well, you can do it for me. Now, that is someone that's obviously hurting. And, you know, it's tragic. And I really think, you know, this is a lesson that we need to learn before this happens again. You know, you speak about guns and, you know, it's the silence. It's the silence. I don't know how to put this, guys, but for the listeners that are listening, it's the silence,
Go ahead. It's from the isolation. I don't think you heard the beginning of the show tonight, but
Rainey was talking
about how the, you know, how important it is to have even just one other person that you can share something with.
That's right. And how,
you know, holding the hand of a friend going into surgery or something like that, or having some sort of trauma happen in your life, just substantially uplifts someone. And for this individual on the college campus, which is so utterly tragic, I mean, a very devastating story, obviously, that person had to feel so isolated and that they didn't even have that one individual to turn to. And that's why...
I mean,
you know, even if you're a perfect stranger, if we can start having community rallies like what we're going to try to do here in a few months, and we can start letting people know that there's a community behind them, even if they don't know of a single individual that they can walk up to, but they can go to a community event and possibly connect with somebody, maybe we can start uplifting some of these loners out there that don't know how to find someone on their own. Let them start coming to these community events.
You know, and Rene has touched on this so many times before. And for all those nonprofits and nonprofit organization leaders that are out there, it is very important, especially for our young people, to establish a hotline. You know what?
Yeah.
You may not be able to. And I know Rene has touched on this. You know, there needs to be an availability. There needs to be an accommodation in the way that, you know what, I may not have anyone to talk to, but I need to talk to somebody now. Pick up the phone and that person needs to be able to answer the phone right then and there. And you know what? I hate to say it, and many of the doctors and therapists out there may disagree with me. You do not have to be trained to be able to, in a specific medical manner, to be able to sympathize and maybe not truly understand, but to be sympathetic and empathetic to what someone's going through.
That's right.
Anybody can answer the phone and say to you, calm down. I'm here for you. Talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just have, let them
mm-hmm.
talk. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's about listening, being, hearing, and having empathy. That's all it is about. And
I think you'll find out that mm-hmm. a lot of people understand that they can do that, but there's
yeah.
a lot of distrust with some of your young
True.
People because they think that you are judging them and
True.
You know that you're trying
mm-hmm.
to make them feel like what they're talking about just isn't as big a deal as what they feel it is when you're talking with somebody really young. And an older person,
True.
When you talk with somebody, it has to, there has
yeah.
to be. There has to be a real connection. You know, I met a man years ago who trained autistic kids to read, and nobody else had been able to do anything with these children. And he came and sat in my office, and it made me laugh, to be honest with you. And I said, oh, my gosh, I can so relate to what you're saying. Because he said to me, Renee,
right.
have you ever seen an autistic child do a video game? And I said, yeah.
Oh,
he
yeah.
said, you notice how
uh-huh.
they can pick up on the video game without anybody even telling them how to play it?
Real
and I
quick.
Said, yeah. He said, that's because it gets their attention. He said,
right.
so what is happening with so many of us is we do not get the attention of the other person
wow.
that we're addressing. Whether it's
wow.
an autistic child, our spouse, whoever it is. Because the other person has something to say to you. And we all do it. We're guilty of forming what we're going to say to them instead of hearing what they're saying to us.
Right.
So there has to be a connectivity, and there has to be a time.
Yep.
And I'll tell you my trick for that. I guess I'll call it a trick because it certainly
uh-huh.
I didn't think it up because I'm some kind of a brainchild. What
oh,
I did, what people would come in, and I'd see how upset they were, and I'd already know probably about what had happened, but I'd see
mm-hmm.
that they were like going to burst. And they like that and would just come falling out of them. I mean, I've done it with the two of you on the phone right now before.
Yes,
you're
yes.
both upset about something and you start, you know, and it just comes rolling out of you. And I watch your body language if I'm with you. And I wait till I see you take a deep breath and go, like that. And I say, okay, are we better?
My turn.
And yeah.
yes, you are.
So then I say, okay, so now you have that person's attention. You didn't have it before, and your words would have just gone right into the air.
Mm-hmm.
So one
exactly.
of the ways to connect doesn't have to do, you're right, Daniel, doesn't have to do with a whole bunch of education, although that's nice.
Right.
It has
of
to
course.
Do with empathy, and it has
right.
to do with the wanting to make a difference with the person
right.
that you see suffering in front of you.
And, you know,
once,
a lot of times when somebody needs once. Someone to talk to, They're not looking for advice, and they're
nope.
not looking for answers. They literally just need to get it off their chest. They need to talk to somebody that they know isn't judging them, and
that's
that
right.
will just let them get it out. And a lot of times that takes a huge burden off of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes, you know, people are all worried, oh, what if I say the wrong thing or whatever? If you just tell them, wow, you know, I'm not sure how to tell you to deal with this, but I really care. And, you know, just continue. You know, get it off your chest. Tell me whatever you
mm-hmm.
need to tell me. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of times that's enough. That's huge. Just
yeah.
having somebody to be able to vent to is so tremendously therapeutic. So people
mm-hmm.
have to, like, not put so much pressure on themselves that, you know, that they don't say the right thing or whatever. Because if you say you care, that's the right thing to say.
Well,
you know?
And you know, the funny part about that is we're thinking we need to be profound. The person
yep.
that is hurting wouldn't know profound if it hit them in the head. They just wouldn't
right.
because that's not where they're at. They're
that's
not waiting
there.
For words of wisdom. They're waiting for some love, and that's it, pure and simple. So I think everybody can do that. Everybody's capable of doing that.
You know, I mean, this is going to sound very, it's very Daniel, put it that way. My favorite show is my favorite show is The Golden Girls.
Amen.
And, amen. And if we can take a lesson from those ladies, it's that no matter what disagreement they had, no matter how upset one was or what they called each other, it wasn't about the old age, the golden age. It was about that they always had someone, that every advocate needs an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just going to say that, and then, you know, to end that with that, the subject for myself, that every advocate needs an advocate. And, you know, if we can strive to be that for other people will strive to be that for us, and it'll be like a chain. It'll be like pay it forward. And how many more people do we need to be just open and listening? That's all we need in life. I wanted to briefly have Dan comment on something. He's a very profound guy. And, Rini, I'd like him to say something, if that's okay with you, because he's on this phone also listening.
Okay.
You have a new listener. Shelly and Rini, meet Dan.
Hi,
Dan.
I suppose I'm on the radio now. How exciting is that? can everybody hear me just fine?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, good, good. That means my voice is okay. I've always wanted a radio voice. I really want to start the discussion before, I'd like to preempt the big rallies come springtime, what have you, and say that one of the best ways to prevent and stop bullying in its tracks is the hardest way. It's for individuals out there in their day-to-day lives, when they hear someone say something mean, stand up and say, hey, you can't say that kind of thing. You know, you don't have to say that was mean. You could just say, hey, you know, you can't say that kind of thing to somebody. That's not right. So that's where it begins. When people hear mean things being said, that's the grassroots of it. That's where people can make a difference. And slowly but surely, that is what will, in the long run, end bullying. So just wanted to share that with everybody, and hopefully people can start practicing today. It takes guts to say something like that, because that means you have to stand up as a leader and actually say something. And the only way you're going to know it's right, if it's in your heart, in your gut, if it feels like the right thing to do, well, then it is the right thing to do. So it's about, should I be a leader right in this moment and say, hey, you can't say that. I probably wouldn't use the word that's mean, because then you're judging them for saying what they're saying. Instead, just say, hey, you know, that's not going to make someone feel good. So just wanted to share that to get the discussion started.
Well, and I think one of the easiest thing to say to somebody like that is, couldn't you have thought of a better way to say that?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
plain
right.
And simple. Then you're not judging on what they said, and you didn't say anything mean to them either. But a lot of times people don't realize how hurtful that their words really are. And you do have to bring it to their attention that they've said something that was totally uncalled for and unnecessary. The problem, of course, Dan, is when you are talking about really young people, we have a lot of middle school age kids that are the ones that are suffering the most. And very sadly, you don't meet too many 12-year-olds that are going to stand up and take on 3 or 4 kids that are picking on one kid.
Perhaps.
I like the idea of doing that.
If they're taught, you'd be surprised what 12- and 13-year-olds catch on to. It's not maybe the normal age for teaching, but when they're taught, yes, you can do this and this will make a difference, the kids will leave the effort, and then they'll start teaching the adults. That's how it happens. Adults are usually pretty shy anyway. So if you get to the 12- and 13-year-olds who are bold enough to dance anyway, I mean, when was the last time you saw an adult dancing? But kids, they're bold enough to dance. So the kids will teach the adults that you got to stand up and you got to be a leader in the moment, and you got to say, hey, you know, that's not you can't say that to somebody. So
can I ask you what your age is, Dan?
What my what?
Your age.
Oh, I happen to be if you were asking me in person, I'd tell you 72. But no, I happen to be 38 years old.
Okay. Because the adults in my life all still dance, and most of the adults in my life are not afraid to say what they think they should say. But, again, a lot of it has to do with how you say things. I mean, we've had conversations on Heart to Heart about being bullied in the workplace by other adults, by your superiors, by your peers, being talked to like, you know, like you're beneath them for some reason. So it's, this bullying thing is happening throughout. I am in agreement with you that it would be wonderful if we could get all the young kids, and I do think the 6 and the 7 and the 8-year-olds are doing this now, because they don't have the fear instilled yet.
Of course, and here's your proof. If you ever want proof of what I'm talking about, ask any teacher who's been in a classroom where they're teaching about the DARE, or the war on drugs. You get these kids that are really young, and they hear about what is right and what is wrong, and they get right on board, and they become leaders about it. So we're talking young kids, grade school kids. So once they understand what they've got to do, they do. And they're excited to do it. And another thing, if you ever hear a bully in the workforce, it's just so simple. The most powerful thing you could say to your boss is, that's not professional. I mean, that's simple and powerful. So, sometimes you got to stand up for you should always stand up for yourself, but it's difficult in sensitive situations. But if you tell a superior, that's not professional, let's continue working, you know, like a phrase like that, then it means that we're going to continue, and that professional thing that was said is let bygones be bygones. So, you know, that's just my viewpoint.
Well, I wish that I like that, but I'm afraid that in most cases, most people would say to you, if I said that to my superior, I would be written up and I'd be gotten rid of very quickly.
Right.
I mean, you don't very often admonish your superior for any reason, especially in an open arena where other employees
Correct.
Are.
However,
but
if you're a human being and being bullied by a boss, what you do is you get in front of other bosses that are around and you say, you know, that was not professional. Let's move on and get this job done.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's just
well,
my...
Well, I hope that works for you, Dan. Mm-hmm. I hope that works for you.
I don't know. I don't know. I hope it just starts the discussion.
I see.
So I don't
mm-hmm.
want to say the end-all solution. I'd rather just have people think about what it means for them so that they could
mm-hmm.
use it in their own way. Because my way works for me. And,
and
you
that's what you need.
And,
that's what it's all about,
so,
what works
so
for you.
So anybody who hears this, don't take my words as literal or direct or as authoritarian. No way. Find out what works for you. I mean, this is the United States of America. You're your own thinker. And figure out what this message can mean for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what I talk about on the show, about you being the only one that you can do anything for, about, or to. And that's really the name of the game. And I've asked everybody today, I had a long talk with everybody in the beginning of the show, and I ask everybody when they wake up tomorrow if they would just do the very best that they could do to make themselves the best person that they can be. Smile at people when you see them. Be kind to people. Have a little empathy when you see somebody's in a tight spot. Be the kind of person you would like everybody around you to be, and see if you don't have a better day.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And thank you, Rainey, for allowing me to speak. My name is Dan Finkelstein. I live in Plantation, Florida. I don't know where this radio is broadcast out of, but
West Palm
Beach. So
Blog Talk Radio is nationwide. So
nationwide.
There are people right now that in the UK and
New
places
York
like
City.
That that are listening. Oh, absolutely, New York City.
And
so,
and farmers, we love you. and California, well, we love you too. You're the creative ones of it. Anyway, so
yeah.
I appreciate you letting me speak. My name
you
is
are very
Dan
welcome.
And I live in Plantation, Florida.
Well, wonderful, Dan. I hope we get to meet in person soon.
Certainly.
You will.
Certainly. Here's back to Daniel.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Hello.
Hi, Danny.
Well, I think it also, you know, Dan brought up a good point, and I think all of us as individuals, like you always say, have to look inside ourselves and say, you know, this is what I'm going to do, and this is who I am, and this is what I'm going to do about it. And when we decide not to do anything about it, that is when we've truly failed. And, you know, but doing something about it is different between and everybody's way of doing something about it. You may stand up and like you were saying, maybe many of these children are not equipped, you know, with the skills or don't know how to stand up for themselves. So they may go tell a teacher, and the teacher may do something about it. And then you have some adults who may talk to their friends. And then you have those who actually stand up and say, hey, I don't like the way you treat me. You know, and whatever works for everybody. What we need to make sure, though, is that whatever way that message is being presented, that we equip our youth, we equip our young adults, we equip even the older generations to accept that and to learn that, hey, we just need to understand, we need to listen to what they're saying, we need to hear them, because listening and hearing are two separate things.
Right.
And, you know, right, Shelley?
Yep.
And we need to make sure that the message is received the same way. That it's not okay. How it's presented is one thing. How it's received is another. And I think that's important. And Rini, I always hate to call in late and stuff, but I want you to continue with your program. But I want to give you a quick update from Rhonda and everybody.
Okay.
Okay, everyone. The Sunset School, I'm going to throw out a website for you all because Rhonda is actually currently in Tallahassee. She wasn't comfortable doing the interview because there were other parties involved. She was going to call Rini, which she'll get you those numbers. You'll speak to them another night. Two individuals from direct schools. But go to this website, everyone, savesunset.com. And I think I put it on Rini's
Facebook. You did.
So, okay, so savesunset.com. Also, the other school is Wingate. So it's the Broward County Public School here in Broward County, Florida. The decision is going to be made Thursday. Again, I already know that decisions have been made, but publicly it's going to be made. So, you know, they're up there lobbying right now in Tallahassee. I had a wonderful trip. I'm leaving again to go back up after 5 days. You know, so we had a very important trip. We have a very important role and task. We intend to accomplish it, and we can never give up. It's all about the kids.
That's right. Well, giving up isn't in my play scheme anyway.
It's not in my
definition. I'm too old to give up.
No, we need to give up. Listen, everyone, I want everyone out there that's listening to wish our Rini a good well, feel better, because she's been down there, and you know, our wonderful heart-to-heart host needs to feel good.
Thank you, sweetheart.
When she feels, we all feel good. I love you all. Thank you so much for having me for the third time.
You're welcome, Danny. Talk to you soon, sweetie.
Thanks, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay, Miss Shelley, we're down to the 1 minute. So thanks, and I think we have a good start. Did you hear what I said about coming up with a slogan?
Yes. You know, and we had a slogan one night on one of the other shows. I got to remember what it was because I thought it was kind of cool, and now I can't remember what it was, but I just remember somebody did have one. It was on one of our, it was a couple weeks ago. So now I might have to listen to some of the older shows, but yeah, somebody had already come up with a slogan that I think would be pretty neat for us to use. So
really?
I got to wrap it
Well, and I'll look through my notes. I'll look through my notes because I keep notes a lot.
All right, cool. So, we'll be able to come up with a slogan, something that will be uplifting.
Yeah, and something that will stick with everybody. Okay,
exactly.
My darling, I will talk to you tomorrow night. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, you too, sweetie.
All right, good night, darling. From my heart to yours, everybody, good night and God bless.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Reen.